Well, the weather for the whole of the south of England will continue as it has for the next few weeks. It's going to be hot and moist, with temperatures rising steadily as time goes on. There's a chance of steamy moments as we move into the... Ah, sod it. We never wanted to do this. We never wanted to be weathermen and women making innuendos about hot atmospheres and drizzly countries. We didn't want to be child-friendly. We didn't want to bang on about being for over 18s only. We want to talk about our sexy adventures. We want to be lifestylers, leaping from bush to bush as we sail down the rivers of British sex clubs and mountains of crazy experiences. The cheeky purple mamba, the liquid silk pumped liberally into our hand, the rodeo classic brief harness complete with Tantus curve, the Enjoy Pure One stainless steel dildo, the hot octopus digit, the ever so short messages on Fab Swingers, the sexy friends on Twitter, and the mighty vanilla alternative. With my best girlie by my side, we'd swing, swing, swing.
Get in the gym or to your car. With our advice, you could go far. We fuck things up and we make mistakes. Talk about our sexy dates. It's getting hard for this to rhyme. Just as well, cause it's bed.
Welcome to the Bedhoppers podcast. My name's Mr. H.
I'm Mrs. H.
And today we're going to be covering one of our fack-offs. Mm-hmm. This one is all about body confidence and age in the lifestyle. Now, a little bit of a warning. This one's a bit longer than normal. Mm. We had a lot of ground to cover. And as ever, us and our special guests are rather opinionated. Mm. So there's a lot of strong opinions throughout this one. But we hope you'll find it useful and handy. And it entertains you just a little bit in this crazy, crazy time of ours. So without further ado, Mrs. H, play the thing.
We've got something that's just for you. Holy shit, it's an interview.
Today we've got some special guests with us, and they're here to tackle the challenge and the question around, am I the right size or age to swing? So welcome, Kate and Daryl, for the Swinging Down Under podcast. Thank you for joining us again. We've got some deep digging to do on this one, I think.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. H. This is 69.6 radio, and this is Swinging Down Under, and this is Kate and Daryl. We're so glad to be on the podcast today.
This is not happening. We are glad to be here. Yes, thank you.
Not half, mate. So we've got a few questions that we want to dig into with you folks. And really, I want to start in the age bracket.
If you direct the first question at me, it's going to be on.
Oh my God. What have we let ourselves in for?
When you say on, do you mean like in a sexy way?
Or it's on.
Yeah, it's on.
I don't know anymore.
So the first question I want to chuck out there is can you be too old or too young to swing?
I think too young, absolutely. I mean, we all understand the age of consent. That's an absolute, and we all know that in the world of swinging and outside of swinging. I hope everybody knows that, and if you don't, please look it up. Jesus. In terms of the too old, I don't think so. I don't believe there is. I think there's a lot more to do with confidence in this crazy swinging world than I think there is to do with exactly what you look like or who you what size you are potentially as well.
We've been to, for example, we went to a house party and there was a complete wide range of ages that were at that house party.
It was an older demographic for sure.
Well, sort of in their early 20s, literally just gone through sort of 20. Mm. And then there were people in their 70s and I really love the fact that these folks had sort of clubbed together in their sort of little swinging unit, and they went on holidays together. And
In
their twilight years. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic. So
I think you're right. I think, you know, the old generation probably make their friends as they go along and then stay in their respective little bubble of, you know, swinging, you know, compadres, and they off they go.
So what you're saying is that we've got a limited amount of time to lock down our swinging friends now and drag them into their twilight years.
Well, I mean, I think, Mr. H, you know, the age thing is a huge debate, and we've had multiple conversations ourselves, you know, which has kind of led to this becoming one of our fuck off series, because it's a big subject to tackle, and we can't possibly hope to do it justice in an hour, but there's some things that I think we could probably draw out here as interesting topics.
Look, just so you know, okay. I plan to go, I just turned 45, so I plan to go downhill on a very steep decline from here. So, you know.
I'm way ahead of you. I'm going to grow all disgracefully.
So with that being the case, I think you guys need to choose wisely when it comes to, you know, gathering in that group you're talking about. Although now I'm assuming we were part of that group. So, you know, maybe
well,
we
I'm
were.
Older than you, I believe.
Maybe we were.
So.
It's interesting. I think the question itself, you know, are you too, could you be too young and too old to swing? I think there's flaws in that. There's inherent flaws in that because you're making the assumption, or one is making the assumption, that there is a statute of limitations in terms to when you can enter the lifestyle and when you cannot enter the lifestyle. And, I mean, legalities aside, to Daryl's point, I think that there's not necessarily a problem with anybody of any age entering the lifestyle. It's just then how you approach it, what your methods are. Are you going to single dates? Are you going to clubs? Are you going to events? What's the tribe that you're a part of look like? There's a change and a difference in how people might approach that. And I think the difference here as well is that a lot of the younger generations now are not necessarily referring to this as swinging. You know, it's just, it's sexual fluidity. It's a varying other terms. And so I think we need to be cognizant of that. It's not necessarily that they are classifying themselves as swingers and then getting into it. They're just saying, hey, we happen to enjoy fun on the weekend. And so I don't think there's an age issue here. I think it's more just that we need to understand that people of varying ages approach the lifestyle in very different ways. You know, somebody who's in their 60s and 70s is going to approach this very differently to somebody who's in their 20s and 30s, perhaps, and that might then lead into other things like consent discussions, swinging style, that whole other thing. So I don't think there's a statute of limitations on it, but I definitely do think there's different ways to approach it depending on your age.
It is interesting, actually, because I think some of the younger couples, certainly on the start of our adventures, we sort of stayed away from a little bit because there was a suggestion of immaturity to relationship. And as we've gone on, we found that's not the case, because everyone's different. But the assumption that we made at first was very much that actually you need to get a few years behind your belt to be comfortable enough to do this, because that was our approach. And obviously, as we've gone out there and explored more, we found that's not always the case.
That's really interesting. You know, I'm thinking back now to my much, much earlier years, pre Mr. H, and, you know, pre where I am now, kind of maybe my late teens, early 20s, maybe. And, you know, the way I behaved then in terms of sexual promiscuity, you could now possibly, if I really wanted to, define that as, you know, being very in touch with, you know, what I want sexually. And, you know, my multiple partners would back then have been deemed as just shagging around, slutting it up. You know, the fact that if I chose to engage in multiple partners, sometimes at the same time, that would be deemed back then as she's just a bit of a slag. But now, you know, you might meet people in your 20s who are in their 20s saying, well, we're swingers and we choose to engage in like having sex with multiple people because that's our choice of, you know, sexual kind of, you know, what we do. But then 20, 30 years ago, that would be deemed to be quite different, wouldn't it?
So I think there's two things there. One is that I need a time machine to go back and find slutty Mrs. H in
slutty
the past.
You would not have liked me.
It's always a good part.
I'm actually just confused as to when she finished.
I know, I'm sitting here like, hold on a second. There was obviously a period of time in between there where we didn't know Mrs. H, and
I'm guessing,
you know,
that's when
she's rolled back around
to it. I mean, you've just come back around to it now.
I think she met me and then the sluttiness was reduced until she corrupted me, and now it's been dialed back up to like 10 or 11.
You did make an interesting point though, Mr. H, earlier when you said that sometimes if a younger couple approaches you, you almost feel like their relationship isn't mature enough. And I think we certainly can say the same thing. I remember when we first joined the lifestyle, it was very much our preference was to not play with couples who perhaps weren't together in some form of long-term relationship. You know, if we met people who were just, say, fuck buddies at a club, we'd be like, no, thank you, as opposed to desiring those couples who were maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5-plus years down the road. And that was purely because we thought that was the way you had to go about it. You know, you look at all these resources and all this information, and in your head you build up these scenarios where that couple then becomes very stable, non-dramatic, blah, blah, blah. And now I find we're very different. You know, we're very more open to different people's perspective and how they approach things, as opposed to just pigeonholing them, you know, 5, 6 years ago when we first joined the lifestyle.
I think it was definitely, and I agree with you on the sort of the way that their relationship is handled. Do they have a level of security, and do they, you know, are they okay together? And, you know, are they going to try and run off with you? And that was for us very much that early stage of actually, do they have that built in? Mm. And actually it transpired that really it didn't make a damn bit of difference come the, you know, towards our longer sort of period of being in the lifestyle. But at first it was very much a concern of ours that...
You were like, do you know what you're doing?
But also, you know, yeah. Is there more chance of them sort of running off with one or the other of us? Because there was a level of jealousy involved in that. I'm curious though, do you guys swing with older or younger people? What are your age brackets? Is it purely, do you have a cutoff point, or is it all about the personality?
Well, we started, well... More specifically speaking, Kate started with a cutoff point. I don't know that I ever really had one, upper or lower. I'd never really thought about it, I suppose, is more to the point, to take the time to put an upper and lower limit on it. But certainly Kate had an upper limit when we first started, which is now not the case. I mean, that's changed during our time in the lifestyle. And in terms of the lower limit, for us, I think it's just more about, it's got nothing to do with the number beside the person. It's more about whether they're emotionally and intellectually stimulating enough for us to be around them. And I should say, that doesn't just have to be the lower limit. I mean, that's all ranges throughout the age ranges that we've been in contact with. Whether you're old or young, if I don't find you intellectually stimulating, then it's likely that I'm not going to want to spend a lot of time with you. So that's certainly for us, I suppose, the change from beginning to now. And it's stark. It's a very, very big difference in terms of where we started.
To put it into concrete kind of perspective for you guys, so I'm 33 years old, Daryl's 45. We have slept with, I think the youngest individual that we slept with is maybe 23 years old. The oldest individual is almost 60, I would say. So that's kind of the breadth of the range for us as it sits today. But definitely when we first started, it was for us, well, we would accept this age to this age. And it wasn't necessarily because of, you know, any physical appearances. It was necessarily because of the fact that, hold on a second, if I've grown up in, you know, this age bracket, then these are the things that were inputting to me.
Yeah, you think are going to be
right. So you get these sorts of
that age group.
You know, these sorts of kind of influences that you happen, that could be movies, that could be music, it could be festivals, whatever it is, and you take those things and you think, okay, well, that age bracket's going to understand my way of living and my way of thinking, and anybody outside of that might not get me. You know, if I walk up to a 60-year-old or 20-year-old now, are they really going to understand the depth of, say, Big Day Out and its importance in Australia? Maybe not, you know, and so that was our impression that...
I don't understand that.
Correct, you know. So back then we didn't know, and we thought we need to stick with those people because they're going to understand us and anybody else necessarily won't, and therefore we won't get on with them. But what we've come to realise is that, you know, people are passionate, and passion goes through any age. And as long as somebody's bringing something to the table, then you can find them interesting.
Yeah, and I think that interest is important. And I have to say, if anything, toward the lower end of the age group we've been involved with, that's where we start to find the issues with the ability to converse, I suppose. And that's sometimes just down to experience. You know, there's more experiences as you get older, and that's something that's not necessarily in somebody that's that young. But saying that, we've found many people in the, you know, below 25 age bracket who we find extraordinarily interesting and sexy and want to spend more time with, and in fact have, you know, done all of those things. It just depends on the individual, I think, for us.
I think it's interesting. I'd almost rather not know how old somebody is. It, you know, in a way, it kind of already puts barriers up sometimes, maybe, if you start categorizing people in terms of age range. And I know for me personally, I kind of struggle with the age gaps of someone who's maybe 20, 25 years my junior. Rightly or wrongly, I put up a little bit of a distance already because it feels like that isn't right. But, you know, it shouldn't be something that I consider, because ultimately I look for personality and do we get on, and, you know, all the other things that come before. Oh, well, wait, you're only 22.
But that's the assumption kind of stepping in, and that's the interesting thing. You know, when we talk about going to these, you know, clothing optional resorts, when we talk about going to a lifestyle club, you know, you guys there, you go to a lifestyle club in the UK, you meet somebody, you're not asking them their age. you're judging them based on, obviously, the initial appearance, yes, that draws you in.
Spark,
the conversation, everything else that goes along with it. Could you tell they're a little bit younger by their appearance? Sure. But you're not, you know, I think when we look at dating profiles, we immediately put on those judgments and those barriers, and that's where the age really matters versus maybe meeting someone in person. I think almost all of that's just washed away. And it's really interesting to see how people kind of adapt to those scenarios where I think you are a little bit more open. And that's not to say that you're less fussy or, you know, you're just kind of, you know, taking one for the team or accepting anything. I think it's just a matter of, like, you see the person, you've got that ability to connect, to see them in their eyes, to watch their facial expressions, to see their passion, and that, above all, interests you above age.
I agree. I think, you know, when you actually meet people face to face, a lot of those judgments that you might have made on a dating website kind of go out the window a bit. You don't know whether they can spell correctly or not. You don't know whether they, you know, use your instead of your or whatever, you know, and you don't know their age. So you kind of skip past that and you become a lot more open person to person. One thing I have noticed, though, is that, you know, Mrs. H is very mindful if someone is the age of her children or sort of thereabouts. Mm-hmm. I think that's quite a psychological barrier. So, you know, the less people mention their age, I think the easier it is for you not to.
I'd rather not know. I mean, for me, I draw parallels, you know, and I probably shouldn't, but I draw parallels with things like if you're going to, I don't know, hire someone for a job, you shouldn't ask their age. Why would you need to know that? You shouldn't have these kind of prejudgments in place where your decision potentially might be biased by the fact that you've got some information that you previously didn't know. You should be making that decision based on what you see, what you interact with, your opinions of, you know, that person. So I don't want to know how old you are, frankly, sometimes.
The flip side is often, though, we are looking, what we often find attractive is a level of maturity. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have fun and that things can't be laughable or hilarious or whatever it might be. But actually having a bit of a mature approach to life is quite attractive to us as a couple. So there is a bit of a, you know, a mix between those two dynamics.
Yeah, the kind of devil may care, I'm very young and I have no real ties, to the I'm much more mature and I've seen life and experience and I have a lot to offer you in terms of, you know, experiences I've had that I can maybe draw some parallels with.
So haggard people, please send your postcards to bedhoppers.
And likewise, some people might seek, you know, the more mature woman because it's a bit of a fantasy. It's like I've always wanted to sleep with an old woman. It's kind of like one of those, I don't even know why it should exist, but it does.
I get it. So one of the things that we really struggled with, and even in me, you know, we first joined the lifestyle when I was 29 years old. And at the time, I remember looking at other 29-year-old women in particular, not necessarily males, and they had led a very different life to me. And so I did make those judgments. And so I can see where somebody older might look at that 29-year-old and say, hey, they're not mature. But the interesting thing was is that for me, if I can give a bit of a personal story, I moved out when I was 16 years old. I bought my first house when I was 19 years old. Like, so I had a lot of responsibilities, and therefore that kind of forced me into this very mature way of living, mature way of thinking.
Well, it's a pretty big step, but, you know.
Yeah, well, a little bit. I've kind of backtracked from there. I had a high when I was that young, and now I've kind of gone downhill.
Whoa. I'm part of that downhill. Let's just be nice.
It's your fault. and so I understand it, because even at my age of 29, when I was meeting other 29-year-olds in the club, I was like, wait a second, you're still living at home with your parents, you're doing these things. And so I did. I put a lot of bias and a lot of judgment and a lot of pressure on those people, because I was like, wait, you're not mature. But really, what is maturity? You know what I mean? I think that's one of the key things here that we need to discuss as well.
I'll let you know when I find it.
I mean, hell, I know some 40-year-olds who still live at home with parents. So. you're right, though. Those experiences do shape you, kind of your maturity levels, and they kind of do make you have judgments, rightly or wrongly, don't they?
One of the things that I wanted to bring up was actually about age gaps. Mm. And these are quite an interesting thing. So you guys must experience a bit of an age gap thing, because there's a bit of an age gap between you.
It is an interesting topic, actually, because when we first joined the lifestyle as well, you know, I was 29, Daryl was 39 at the time, so 10-year age gap. And the barriers, or some of the issues that we faced, was that I was saying, I don't necessarily want anyone younger, and maybe I don't want anyone older than Daryl. You know, we kind of wanted to find that in-between gap. And then some of those couples in between, where you're saying, I was too young, we had that a lot. A lot of couples that were Daryl's age were saying, Kate's too young, we don't want to play, or vice versa. We'd find younger people and they'd say, Daryl's too old, we don't want to play.
Nobody ever said that.
Some people did.
But it was never even whispered.
You chose to block them out and delete them.
You were lucky. We just had Mr. H is just too shit to play with. So,
we never had that. I do. When I first met you, I remember I would have had no idea how old you were.
Like, 12.
I still don't. Not an actual clue.
She picked me up from primary school. That's all I'm saying here.
I mean, what I do know is you make me feel a lot younger than I am.
Quite literally just sometimes.
Really does. Like, just with your mannerisms and your zest for life, it's really refreshing. And, you know, the fact that there is an age gap between us, not a huge one, but there is one. You know, I genuinely feel that old adage of you're only as old as the man you feel. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite true sometimes for me.
Yes. I've only felt old men. This is really awkward.
We're 10 years, and I think that...
We are.
Right now, a lot of the couples that approach us are Daryl's age or older. That is the reality. Like, right now, if you look at the people, couples, not singles, but couples that approach us are more often than not Daryl's age or older, which means I'm not only just accepting the 10-year barrier, I'm possibly accepting 15, 20, 30-year barrier. And I think initially, if you go back 6 years, that would have been a significant issue. I mean, I don't think Daryl's ever found it as particularly an issue, really. It's just been more of an interesting the way that they approach you, because maybe as well they thought I was too immature, too young.
Yeah, I think I'll just take it where I can get it.
So what about clubs and events putting on age brackets? Have you seen that? Because I remember we applied to go to somewhere and you had to be a certain age. Was it Killing Kittens, maybe?
Yeah, some clubs and events, they do... put an age bracket on things, which is fine. That's their prerogative. Absolutely, it is. But it can present its own problems, because as soon as you start categorizing people in terms of you're too old to come and enjoy yourself at our event, it starts then segueing for me very much into, wow, someone thinks I'm too old to go and enjoy myself there.
Well,
how does that make me feel?
Yeah. That was an interesting one to apply for, because there was not only an age sort of restriction, but there was also
attractiveness level.
Yeah, there was a like, are you attractive enough to join our club?
Are you young enough and attractive enough?
Yeah.
Like, one of those categories isn't going to be fulfilled.
That's like a stab to the thorax followed up by a gut punch.
Maybe both of them. I don't know, depending on your view of things. But I don't know, people might look at me and say that I'm not as old as I truly am, because maybe I scrub up well, who knows? But the fact remains, someone has chosen to categorize me and put me in an age bracket which is too old to enjoy an event that you are old enough to go to. So, wow.
And that was the interesting thing.
There's a bit of FOMO there. That's in that one.
I'll pick you up later. See you later.
Yeah, if you could just drop me off at the swing party, please, dear, and pick me up at like 3 a.m. Yeah, that'd
be
fine.
Here's your packed lunch, darling.
Thanks, Mum.
Have you got clean underwear on?
Not anymore.
Excellent.
It was interesting, though, because I remember we submitted that application for that, and we were like, holy shit, we don't know, because we were... one of us was outside the age bracket.
By one of us is me.
And one of us was outside the attractiveness bracket. That was me. And we, you know, and hopefully our batting average got us through the light. And it did. Yeah. But it was like a really interesting thing in that...
It's a stark reminder that your age actually does matter to people.
It does matter. And I think this is one of the things. Oftentimes when we're talking in forums, or we're, even as podcasters, we are absolutely 100% guilty of this. And we say age doesn't matter. Body shape, body size doesn't matter. But the reality is it to some people, it absolutely does. Mm. And, you know, I know that you're you know, talking about an event where you felt aged out. But I'm going to actually explain to you that I've actually not been of an age where I'm allowed at an event too. So I have been too young for an event. So I think it works both ways here in that, you know, there is an element
very
that...
Very rarely does it work that way. But,
but it does.
Saying.
No, but I'm explaining
it
the fact
work
that
way,
it works both ways. And
yes.
So there's, especially with the age gap, there's been
and
times
occasionally
when...
Occasionally the moon is fully blanked out.
I reckon if she could reach you, Daryl, she might actually hit you in a minute.
There's been times when I've been allowed to go to an event within the age bracket and Daryl hasn't, and the other side of that is where I've been too young for the event. And I think that the event organisers themselves are obviously trying to create a particular ambience, and I understand it, I get it. 100%. They're trying to get people, again, if we roll back to our interpretations when we first started the lifestyle, was that they're trying to get people that understand certain, you know, pop culture references, and that's all fine. But for the age gap couple, and for perhaps if there is a bracket where one is allowed, one is not, that does pose a certain issue. And I have found, though, a lot of event companies will, if one of the couple is within that bracket, the other one is allowed, and especially within European clubs. Mm. That's often the case.
Yeah.
Actually, we went to a party that was set for a slightly younger crowd.
Yeah.
And we turned out. And for a large chunk of it, Mrs. H was kind of like, these whippersnappers here are terrible. And
young whippersnappers. Really.
Yeah. But who did we hook up with? The only other couple that was outside the age bracket.
I know.
So I mean, it was an interesting.
It is interesting, and I understand that, you know, certain clubs want that demographic to appeal to a certain age group, because, you know, that's arguably there might be a level of, you know, attractiveness within that, and the older you go, maybe that drops off, and maybe they don't want their you know their audience to be so haggard.
Well, I think that the attractiveness as you get older should be really rewarded, because it's a lot fucking harder to work out as you get on.
I actually think men look a lot hotter when they get older.
Ah,
yeah, I do. I'm looking forward to you being a silver fox.
Okay, all right. So what happens, you know, in the lifestyle as you get older? Is this something that we intend to do for a long time?
Tits go south.
Tits go south. Here's something really horrible for women out there. Your labia minora grows as well, so that's nice.
Oh, geez, balls, I haven't got anything for that,
your
no.
Your ball sacks actually sag a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, all the things just really head south, to be honest.
Yeah, getting older, getting quite sucks.
What the fuck are you guys talking about? I mean,
it's true. Fault. She brought it up.
I did.
So
it's a reality.
Yeah. Balls go more south, but make them more easy to put into somebody's mouth. That's what I heard.
They'll be more pendulous.
Easier for teabagging.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You've got no choice when you're that age.
Boobs drop a bit, but easier to hold pencils.
Oh,
that's
God.
What I'm saying.
Full pencil cases, maybe.
Here's what I will say. Here's what I really want to say, though. When we were first together, I remember Daryl, and he still says this today multiple times, and it kind of irritates me when he repeats himself. But anyway, he will often say...
I never
say,
repeat myself.
You do. He will often say...
I never
say,
repeat myself.
He'll often say that women, and I'm really focusing on women here, but women tend to... They get to a certain age where they go, you know what, this is my body, I don't care, this is me, I'm going to go to a nude beach, and here I am in all my glory, and they just accept themselves. And it's interesting, because why can't a 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old, you know, whatever it is that you are, why can't those other women do that? There's so much shame and guilt and pressure involved in that. And I honestly do, I do worry in myself that I'm going to get to an age where I'm going to go look back on photos right now when I'm 35 and going, what is wrong with me? I should have been walking around naked the whole time, you know, like just
I
respect
concur.
It. It's interesting. And I, yeah, it's something I think
well,
that,
you know, I'm trying to get my body image, but people keep telling me I'm fat. So, you know, it's hard. There's me like, I'm just embracing my body image for the love of God. Give me that burrito. And he's like, well, I'm just saying your bum's getting a bit big.
Don't judge my burrito eating.
You know what? Just to interject before you move on to your next undoubtedly topical topic, the whole age thing has really got to me, particularly in this this environment where we're kind of locked down at the moment, and gyms are shut, and everything's shut, and life has kind of gone a bit strange and ground to a halt, and we're kind of like together 24/7, which is lovely. I absolutely adore that I'm in lockdown with Mr. H. But on the other hand, it's provoked some really interesting discussions together, and it's also meant that we've seen a lot more of each other than we probably would every day. You know, we're spending every waking moment together, and we're probably spending more time having discussions about how we feel about things. So long story short, I'm not feeling that great body-wise, image-wise, age-wise, actually, and it's led to us having a few discussions about, why do you feel like age is catching up with you suddenly? And why are you letting things like this get to you? And why are you not pursuing a kind of a route to making things better? Why are you just letting it get to you? And I don't actually have an answer, but it's interesting that we've got to this point where I genuinely feel like I've aged quite 10 years in 10 weeks.
Well, sometimes. And I think this is going to probably tie into your next topic, Mr. H, but I don't think that it's actually the age thing. I mean, age, definitely, it's a number in whatever, but I don't think necessarily that it's the age and we're starting to think about, you know, the term of life. I think most of the time when people think about age, it's the body image, the interest level, you know, I mean, what
it's
is
exactly what you ladies just described. 100%. It's all the things
what
that you've
is,
described. Which
what is attractiveness in the lifestyle? And we put an age to that, not because the age is important, but because we associate some form of body image, intellect, fun living lifestyle that, you know, you've got, you don't have a mortgage and you don't have kids and you don't not tied down. And so we associate all these, you know, really fun loving things with an age. So it's not the age itself. It's what we associate with it, this hot body, this blah, blah, blah. And so I think that's our issue inherently here, not necessarily the age, really, if we dig down to it.
I agree with you. I do agree completely. What I would say is I have genuinely noticed age catching up with me a little bit recently. And whether that's because I'm probably scrutinizing myself a little bit more in the mirror these days, I'm noticing changes to my body that I may potentially brush off a little bit more when I don't have as much time to dwell on it. That's possibly part of it. But I do genuinely notice the signs of myself getting a little bit older. And part of me is like, okay, that's just life and I have to just deal with that and get on with it. And I'm inherently grateful that I found somebody that absolutely adores me, regardless of what age I am. But equally, I'm using it almost as a little bit of a scapegoat for this is why I can't do this this particular workout routine, because, you know, I'm feeling a little bit, bits of me don't work quite as well as they used to, and I've got aches and pains where I shouldn't, and all those little reasons I use to kind of make an excuse why I can't fix something right now. It's difficult, and you end up punishing yourself because of it, but at the same time knowing that the only solution really is just to get on with it.
There is an element of how much energy you've got, and if there's one thing that Corona has given us is this, just it's easy to sit down and let everything wash over you. And I think, you know, I'm going to throw a Beatles quote in here, in fact a George Harrison quote, with you know, I'm sitting here doing nothing but aging.
Yeah.
And Corona has made that quite almost, it's almost inevitable, because we've not been able to go to the gym. Going out is an effort.
I think it's even bigger than that, because it's not just the gym, guys. I mean, my biggest concern about this period that we've been in is not getting to the gym. You know, I can stand myself looking in the mirror. It doesn't mean that I'm happy with what's there, but I can stand what I'm seeing. The issue that the real issue I have is that I feel like I've given away right now 7 months of my life that I will never get back, and I've only. The things I've done during that seven months is really sit on the couch, watch TV, go to work in an office that's upstairs, and then go back downstairs and sit on the couch and watch TV. I haven't been out, haven't caught up with friends, haven't really done all of the standard things you'd want to do. Plus, outside of that, I haven't moved forward. Mm. Yeah, that's the big issue that I have.
It does consume you.
Yeah, so yeah. It does become quite consuming around this particular environment, but. You know, along with that, you do, because as you rightly said, as you get older, you start to notice you
stagnate. Absolutely. You become consumed by this perpetual cycle of, right, beginning a lockdown, I'm going to like totally have an overhaul. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's going to be amazing. 3 weeks later, where's my potato chips gone?
Well, I never thought
pass
that.
Pass me the next drink because I need it.
See, I think that part of the Corona issue is that if you don't have a meet next week or in a month or whatever, then you've got nothing to work to, nothing extra to work towards. And we all want to look the best for our partners. I'm sure we do. But that having that extra bit of, oh, we're meeting someone that's different, that's not within our tribe, that's not perhaps as forgiving as us, it makes you work a little bit harder and makes you a bit more, oh shit, I better, you know, do my absolute best for that. And I don't want to let the side down. I mean, I don't want to let Mrs. H down.
You never do.
Thank you. But I don't.
Only from the shoulders up.
But you know, it does make you work harder and work smarter, because you're kind of thinking, fuck, if we turn up and, you know, and they say, oh, we don't want to play with you guys because you, sir,
you're the ugliest in the room.
Yeah,
you're a marshmallow. Wow.
Yeah, you are a Stay Puffed fuck off, sir. You know,
oh,
it'd be
man,
awful.
I could go a steak, but like imagine that huge marshmallow right
I just really want a pie.
That'd
okay.
be amazing.
Like, for reals.
Are you talking about a pie or a lady
well,
pie?
Well, now you've mentioned lady pie. Any, now I want a lady pie.
Pie. Yeah, any pie.
Yeah, I could chow down.
I could chow
well,
if
know,
I need
I,
to.
I don't know. I mean, just going back to what Mr. H said, he's absolutely right. You know, this whole drive to better yourself and to self-preservation, and it made me think, like, earlier, when we've had lots of chats about this, because, you know, like anything else, he can always sense way before I can that, you know, meltdown is approaching, and he knows me inside out, which is great. But that's to my detriment in a way, because he senses really what I don't want to say out loud, which is, stop wallowing in self-pity, woman, and just buck up, because, you know, no one's going to do it but yourself. And it's a sad indictment, really, that you shouldn't really do this because you don't want to let the side down and because you don't want to be the weaker link. You should do it because you want your partner to fancy you, and you want your partner to remember why they fell in love with you and why they found you attractive in the first place. And I feel like I'm doing Mr. H a disservice sometimes by not making that effort sometimes and just assuming that because he loves me and he has been with me for 20 years, then actually I'm complacent that that's going to continue. But actually reality is, if I put, you know, two dress sizes on, I shouldn't be complacent that he's just going to roll over each day and still want to be with me.
So with all this in mind, what I want to move on to is a little bit around body confidence. And we've talked a bit about age and kind of how, you know, any age can swing. But what about any body type? What have we seen out there? What's the deal with body type in the lifestyle?
I mean, again, this is a really multifaceted question. So what have we seen? And honestly, and I know, again, it sounds quite cliche, but every shape, size, color, ethnicity, height, whatever, you imagine it, it's in the lifestyle. And that reigns true. That very much reigns true. But is there an element of, you know, body confidence in the lifestyle and the people that are happy to get out there and, you know, just be the life of the party? Yes, there are different people that are quite happy to do that. But again, I want to say that that ranges in body shape, size, whatever. You know, I've seen people be the life of the party at multiple different types of body shape and size. And, you know, I've been hanging back going, well, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be that outgoing life of the party because of limitations that I put on myself. And so, yes, everybody can swing, absolutely 100%. But could you put your own barriers on your own shape and make those assumptions based on parties, clubs, promotional, marketing, collateral? 100%, absolutely you could.
That's really interesting. Like, going back, I mean, how long have we been doing this now? What, 3 years?
Probably.
3-4 years, yeah. Okay, so, you know, misconceptions going into the lifestyle. Number one, with Mrs. H, I assumed that people who were in the lifestyle were all super hot. I really did. I went into this naively thinking that to engage in these multiple sexual practices and what have you, that people were automatically, I don't know why, I elevated them in my mind to be...
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you 100% why? Take a look on any dating site. Take a look at all the event posters and take a look at the people that are in those posters. I can tell you now that looking at those posters, 100% of the people are bikini models, rarely see men involved. And if you do see men involved, they are absolutely 100% with a six-pack. There's no dad bods in there. And you look at those posters and you think, I'm not for this lifestyle. And that's the reason why. It's those inputs out there that are feeding our own insecurities. I'm not specifically talking about you, but even my own insecurities of, oh, if that's what that looks like, if that's what that poster is, then I don't fit that mark.
Hang on. I'm going to go back a little bit there. Hang on. I'm going to go back before even what Kate was saying. Mrs. H, you said when you thought about the lifestyle, you thought everyone was going to be hot.
A little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
What is hot in your mind? Because your definition of hot, if you think of a hot person is going to be in there, then projecting that image onto stuff.
Hot. All right, granted, hot is just a general term that can cover a lot of ground. I get that. And what someone deems to be hot is not necessarily a shared opinion of other people. Fine. So to be stereotypical about it and put it in that box of, you know, what really sums up attractive, fine. You're probably going to assume that it's not going to include people who are particularly, you know, maybe obese people. I don't know. But in my head, I was like, whoa, I'm probably too fat
Is it a weight thing? Is it a symmetrical thing?
No, for me, it's probably weight. Everything probably in my mind comes back to weight. And this is speaking personally. This is not a shared opinion. This is not fact, but it's backed up by anything. It's me saying my perception is that attractive is something that is not necessarily super overweight.
And actually, I think Daryl's got a lot to say about this particular topic. But before he gets onto that, what I do want to say, Mrs. H, yeah, because you have a good, have a really good opinion about this. But what I want to say, Mrs. H, is that nobody, I think there's a lot of judgment and there's a lot of shame out there for people speaking their own opinions and their own minds about this particular topic, because it is a very emotional topic. That's obvious. And I think we just need to kind of pull those barriers away and say, hold on a second, that's your opinion and that's okay. And these are our opinions and that's okay as well. Yeah. Because I hate to see these people kind of arguing online about what is hot, what is not, and all these sorts of things, you know, because it is personal preference. But more than personal preference, there's generally reasons for that. Upbringings, you know, inputs that have been there for decades. Mm. And so I just wanted to, yeah. Thank you for your transparency. Thank you for your honesty, because I think it's refreshing to be honest.
It is. And I accept that this is very much what makes me feel better in my own skin.
Hotness is very subjective though, isn't it, overall? I mean, it really is. Okay, there are some broad definitions, but I know that we've spent, you know, the early hours of Saturday morning arguing over which Avenger is the hottest. You know, and
we never
just,
did get to an answer. No,
I mean, you know, Mrs. H will stab anyone.
Obviously
that says
it's Tony Stark. But yeah, you know.
There we go. But everyone has a preference,
and
everyone has a shape in their head that's been brought up with their upbringing, with their style, with their growth. All this stuff influences what you find attractive, not just what the media tells you is attractive. You know, and it's really, I really find this massively interesting. And one of Mrs. H's favourite programmes is that stupid fucking Channel 4 thing where they reveal... Naked Attraction, is it?
Where they reveal bits of you in a box.
It's a real fascinating thing.
Yeah, they reveal bits of you in a box. You're not...
Here's a severed hand. Yeah, how do you feel about this? Yeah. I'm a bit fucking scared,
Open the box! Open the fucking box! You know, and it's amazing just to watch this reveal of people, and they're completely naked.
So
and kind
superficial,
of,
but I love it.
But, you know, everything from, you know, we've been sat there watching and there's a guy on the wheelchair and there's a guy that has one leg and there's all
heavily tattooed people and there's innies and outies and big ones and small ones. And
it's fascinating watching people make their sort of, oh, this is attractive or this is what I feel I connect to.
Or being forced to actually reveal what their gut reaction is to something. It's very visceral and it is very much like, well, we're telling you, you've got 10 seconds to make a decision about who you're going to eliminate based on the very limited
amount. But this is what happens in a swingers club.
You've seen to
this. This is exactly what happens in a swingers club. You walk into a swingers club, you scan the room.
You can drop the word swinger out of there.
You walk into a club. Yep, you scan the room and you're doing that exact same thing. You are taking that person's personality, life experience, maturity, humour, all that shit gets pushed to the side and you are just basing on, fine, that disassociated body part that's in the box. I'm a little bit worried Mrs. H is going to be the next serial killer.
Going to be?
And you're making a decision. I mean... Daryl's been on the record about looking around the club and going, you know, and we joke, you know, we jest and we say, oh, look at the ladies in here. Like, she's attractive. She's, you know, she's okay. Like, she's probably not my cup of tea. Definitely not. Yes, okay. I mean, it's human nature, I think.
It is. And it's okay to do that.
I fully expect that people will actually look at me and make a decision and judge me on that. And, you know, like, and say that that particular person, that particular body type or that level of individual, you know, his humor doesn't suit me. Yeah. His
we have
bald
had it.
Head is not my deal. You know, to be able to pick, to look at me and find enough of a fault.
Some people might look at Mr. H and go,
that you don't like me.
Beards. No,
fine.
No, thank you. I don't want a beard.
I'd much rather that than the alternate, which is somebody doing something that they'll regret afterward being me.
It's really strange as you go in because, you know, everyone's allowed their own preferences, but you know, you kind of personality. And I think we all say in the lifestyle that actually, you know, body types are open and, you know, anyone can take part. But obviously everyone has their own preferences. Mm. And it's not often that people talk about, actually, you know, people like attractive people and personality. Mm-hmm. As wonderful as personality is, and it makes a difference.
It only goes so far.
But I think it's a combination of those two things. If you've got a shit personality, but you look amazing, I'm not interested. If you look awful to me and your personality is amazing, still not interested. You need to be, you know, okay, you know, you need to be a good person as far as I can work out. And that's a weird measure.
Why the fuck do you still talk to me? Christ knows
how I do that. But also...
So not putting severed hands in boxes.
All of that, I think, Daryl, you are a good person.
Absolutely.
You know, I believe that genuinely.
Well, you know, interestingly, we've had people even messages, you know, saying... would you lose the beard?
That was to Mrs. H, not me.
I think your beard is one of the best parts.
Some people will go to that extreme. And also, you'll frequently see status updates from people saying, we're looking for gym fit.
Yeah, look, males. But I think those people...
I go to the gym all the time.
Well, those people are shunned online too. I mean, recently in a forum post, there was a couple saying...
They're not shunned. They're allowed to have their own opinion. No, but
people get really pissed off about the fact that they're saying, this is what we're looking for. And in my mind, more power to you. Because you're putting it out there, you're just saying, this is what our preference is, it's our preference, that's what we want to do. Because can I say as well, everybody who's out there throwing stones in these houses and saying, like, you shouldn't have those opinions, sexual intimate act is a very, very personal thing. It is a very personal thing. And so to let somebody literally into my body, I want to be okay with that person that's entering into my body. And I don't think that anybody has the right to tell you that you should or shouldn't accept somebody based on those preferences.
Whatever it is that your preference is set to.
It's a really fine line you're walking, because it has the capacity to not only boost your confidence but actually destroy it in a single blow.
But it is that thing, though, because I think lots of people talk about how this thing should be a complete and utterly open hobby or whatever, lifestyle or whatever you want to call it, where anyone can be welcomed. And I think, yeah, that is absolutely the case, and that everyone should be welcomed. But everyone should have the right to say no if they want to. And I think that's the important bit. You don't have to be attracted to everyone. And you know, we found that even going to Desire in November, you know, it's a real mix of people. And some of them we fancied, some of them we didn't. But the fact was, is that everyone was sensible enough to have a good conversation and go, are you interested? And you could go yes or no, just like any other thing. But it was particularly pertinent at that, because we kind of felt that we're in this place, we can be honest, we can be open. People are a lot more forward than we've ever felt before.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really awkward night when you spurned me, but yeah, I got over it.
Not for the first time, I'll wager. But it is that case, you know, everyone has the right to say no and be attracted to what they're attracted to. And there's nothing wrong with that. But equally, I do believe it's really important that everyone is welcomed and everyone has a shot. So everyone has the right to ask you.
100%. And then also the flip side of that is that if you are on the receiving end of somebody not enjoying your company, a lot of people say, you know, they didn't like us or we didn't feel welcome or whatever, go and find people that do want you. I mean, yes, everybody is welcome in this lifestyle. Yes, everybody, shape, age, whatever, is welcome in this lifestyle. And find your tribe. It's not hard, because there's other people out there that are the same makeup as you. So do that and go to those people that are happy to be with you. Don't dwell and worry about the people that are interested.
Absolutely. What I'm interested in is, you know, we've talked about a little bit about body confidence and can anyone swing and what have we seen. But do you think the lifestyle encourages you to put your best self out there?
I believe, for me, again, I believe it does. I mean, I think being put on display and knowing, we all know as humans that we have a particular shape, size, whatever it is that we find ourselves most confident in. You know, and that may not be, and certainly in my case, it isn't. It very much isn't the you know, the magazine representation that we see of men. That's not what I find myself.
You're a very confident person. You know, even if you're, if we come back from a European holiday and we've
cocky might be
gained a couple of kilos, you're still like, yeah, I look good. Like,
well, I mean, but you don't have to be the weight. You know, the perfect weight every time to feel okay in your body. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I add too much, I start to feel weird about myself. But that's okay, provided you're willing to step up grab your testicles and have a go at it and actually change the thing you've got a problem with. But
I think Darryl, what you're saying, like the confidence aspect, yes, absolutely. Is hugely super attractive. Someone who's willing to project that level of confidence and invite you in and invite you into their kind of world of, hey, this is me. Like, come and have a go yeah. on this.
I'll be
like,
right there in 12 and a half hours.
It's hugely attractive when someone, yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than someone constantly like naysaying about themselves and saying, oh, well, you know, you could come and have a go, but I'm a bit fat and I'm a bit this. And then you're like, okay, cool. Like, sorry, I haven't looked at you. But someone who's like inviting you in and enjoying themselves in that kind of, hey, come and have fun with me. Like, I may not be picture perfect, but hey, we can have some fun. Brilliant. I love that. That someone is so comfortable in their skin that you feel energized by that and you kind of want to have a
energy. I totally agree. Brilliant. In some cases, it takes a level of pretending from my end to achieve that as well. I've certainly been in clubs or at events or whatever.
Where I've felt old,
or I've felt bald or ugly, but in comparison to everyone around me, I'm definitely bald, so it's okay for me to feel bald. But you know what I mean? Like, there's always, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, you can always look at yourself in the mirror and find fault. And that is everyone. I'm sure there's nobody in the world who looks at themselves in the mirror and says with any real confidence that there is absolutely nothing wrong with me. So we all have our problems and we all deal with those. But the joy is, for me, is sometimes you really have to be able to just say, look, I'm not in my perfect tip top, but I'm actually okay with where I sit right now. And frankly speaking, if the other people aren't okay, fuck them. I'll find somebody who is. You know, like, I'll go and actually find a group of people who find me attractive as I sit right now. And that is... sorry, Kate's putting a hand up here, so I just need to stop for 1 second. And
oh, I was doing the whole, I'll go after you, babe.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'll let it happen. You go, babe.
I was going to make a point. You said about, you know, accept me as the way I am. And I think there's something to be said about longer-term relationships, because we have longer-term relationships in the lifestyle that we've had for many, many years. And over the course of these years, there's always been somebody in this, you know, four-person relationship that has been, you know, drinking a little bit more, eating a little bit more, not exercising as much, or
going through
work, you know, stresses,
depression, or, you know, like all sorts of things.
And then they'll get back on track, and then it'll be my turn to have a go at that, and I'll be a little bit more fluffy around the edges and everything else. And I think that's just par for the course. And I think that once you get to some of those relationships, and these are very different than perhaps just, you know, club one-night relationships, obviously, but it can be a really beautiful thing. And it's just one of those things where I know if I gain a couple of kilos and I have that piece of cake and I drink those bottles of wine, that I'm still going to be able to go and absolutely rock it on the weekend with my friends, because they do accept me and
there is a
they
cliche.
Find me sexy.
There's a cliche out there. It's not the perfection that you love about somebody. It's the imperfections you gather over time in actually understanding what it is that they don't like about themselves, perhaps, that you still love. You know, that's the...
Oh, do you know, I love that. Yeah, I absolutely love that sentiment. It's really endearing.
And see,
to me.
This is why you love me.
Because
that's why.
People aren't perfect. And people aren't like that perfect thing, are they? They have their little furboils and their little insecurity. Yep. But that's what you love about them. And I'm never going to be like that pitch perfect person, but I would hope that, you know, together we.
I'm not a great singer either, just so we all are on the same page.
So you play with a couple and you see them play with somebody that is terrible. Does that diminish your play experience?
Yes. Is that like a play cock blocker for you?
Like, I can't.
Some people out there are going to want to say, no, it doesn't, and toe the party line. But yes,
what,
100.
What fucking party are you talking about?
Oh, the whole like inclusivity and everything else and non-judgmental vibe, I get it. But yes, if you have a couple that plays with another couple that perhaps you have preconceptions about, yes, you're going to make assumptions then about that other
couple. I will 100% agree with that.
It's interesting, actually, because, and I mean, like, we like to take the piss out of each other, obviously. That's just par for the course for us, but we also like to pull apart some of the things that we do. And honestly, over the years, what I've found is it's ego for us. It's for me, sorry, for me, not necessarily Daryl. If we have played with a couple and they play with another couple who we deem to be XYZ, I don't know, whatever it is, and there's an element of like, hold on a second, it's an egotistical difference between us and them. So I don't know, again, it's just human behavior. I don't really know why it is.
The simple reasoning behind it for me, the way I apply at least a portion of logic to it is by saying, well, if I'm hanging out with somebody who I like, I generally surround myself with people who I like. And if I'm...
Right. Yep.
If that couple is hanging out with somebody I don't like and they like them, then to me that means that it's highly unlikely that I will like them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's just... It's like a group of friends in swing generally. So if Kate and I like a couple, and then we meet another couple that we like, then if we introduce them, the likelihood is quite high that they'll enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas if we don't like them and we introduce them, then you know
we make assumptions that they probably won't like them. Yeah.
And those assumptions have been pretty fucking accurate up until now.
Yeah, but I think it is interesting actually when you see that flip side of somebody who you would pass off as that couple wouldn't like that other couple, and then they actually really click, and there is an element of like, holy shit, this people like different people.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and you can't help but go, oh, was I just being a bit of a bitch?
Yeah, no. See, I don't judge myself like that. It's more like just
I think it's down to what you find attractive generally. And ultimately, if you don't really feel the attraction in that moment, at that time that you see them for the first time, and then you see someone else playing with them, then it doesn't mean that you kind of like missed out in any way. It just means that maybe your gut instinct was right.
Well, I think, you know, this comes down to that thing where if you don't know anything about people, you're much less likely to make judgments about them. But sometimes as you discover more about them, it mm-hmm. can alter how you feel. And, you know, we've been in situations where we've kind of played with people and then discovered who they've played with or known about their approach later.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, during this whole COVID situation, seeing how they've taken their approach and adapted to this whole thing. And we've gone, oh, that's
wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, we wouldn't go back
the
there.
The whole associative discrimination thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But equally, you know, when you meet people and they tell you up front, you make those judgments because it's informing. You go, oh, you've played with them. I don't, you know, on principle, I can't do it. Or that's put me off you. You play with them. Oh, that fucking hell. How bad is that? Because that's just human nature. You just look at people and kind of make these assumptions and build this stuff. But actually, had you not known that, would your approach be different? Are they different human beings because of it?
And that's an interesting perspective, because I was actually talking to a listener, Jay in Florida, and she and I were having this exact conversation about a week ago, where we were talking about the fact that the more you get to know people, the more possibility that you're not interested in playing with them anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that all of a sudden you're starting to understand more about their perhaps religious understanding, cultural understanding, political understanding, these things that perhaps you wouldn't know on a club environment, on a first date environment, or even just meeting them at a lifestyle resort. You really maybe not getting to those kind of that roots of who they are as an individual. And so it was interesting, because sometimes it can be at a disadvantage for you to actually start to really know people at their core and what makes them them, you know, as opposed to that kind of surface interaction that you might get at a club.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the impact to your own confidence and being in the lifestyle. So we've been talking a lot about body confidence and body issues, but how has being in the lifestyle changed your confidence?
I think it's done wonders for yours.
Has it?
Yeah. I do. So, I mean, you know, jumping right in here, I think this is like such a huge topic to unpack, but I'll try and be succinct about it.
Please do. We've only got like 10 minutes or so left.
All right. Okay. So, all right. Body confidence could take us down uncharted like territory, really, and it could take hours. However, what I would say is...
Seems like it's going to.
Yeah. Yes. What I would say is what I've noticed about you, Mr. H, specifically, is I think it's done you the world of good because it's made you extremely aware of how you look and the kind of what you want to try and do to make yourself not be that weakest link. And you've specifically said that to me on a number of occasions, that you want to be your best version of yourself, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of angles to it. I think for me, there's been a bit of a, I don't want to let you down. So I don't want to meet a couple and for them to go, oh, I don't want to play with them because he's a fucking idiot.
Because he's a munter,
whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And there is every chance that still happens. But I kind of want to present the best version of myself.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of inspired me to do that for me as well, actually, to have some self-respect over it. That actually, if I'm putting myself out there and I want to explore other people, why shouldn't they get the best version of me that I can offer?
And I get that. But the problem is that puts me in a supremely difficult situation because where arguably in the current environment, I've struggled with kind of making that effort, not because of you, but because I just genuinely am struggling with the current environment and finding the motivation to do anything. So do you think the lifestyle maybe gives you that impetus to do more?
I think the lifestyle has given me an angle on that, and I think it's driven me. But actually, I want to be the best person that I can be for you and for me and for every bugger else out there in the world. Not that they're all interested in me, of course. But I think, you know, beforehand, I think we were kind of tripping along nicely in our relationship, and I think we got incredibly comfortable. And, you know, for those that are interested, at some point or other, I'll post a picture of our wedding pics.
Please
on
don't.
Twitter and a
Never
more recent
post that
pic.
Picture. Yeah. Burn it.
Thank you. But, you know, we kind of got very comfortable with each other, and I don't think we really wanted to try to be the best for each other. And I think the lifestyle just gave us a bit of kick in the ass to go, we could be better for each other and for ourselves. And I think for me, that kind of inspired me and just did a bit of a touch paper. And I think just before that happened, we entered into the lifestyle, I was already on a bit of a, I need to be healthier and I need to be around longer for you and I need to be you know, much nicer to keep your interest. But actually the lifestyle cemented that in a really positive way for me.
I think it's really interesting that you have to put those caveats in place that it's not necessarily the lifestyle that's making you do that, because therein lies that kind of worry that you're not doing it for your other half, you're doing it to attract other people.
I think there is that, you know, if you're doing it for someone else, I think it does... If I was just doing it for other people, then I don't think there'd be any point in our relationship. Because if that's my mindset, then, and I'm just doing that to attract other people, then why the hell am I with you? Mm-hmm. If I'm doing it because I want to be the best person I can be for you and for us as a couple, then I think that's quite different. And if I want to do that for me because I think I can be better than what I am, then I think the altruistic reasons behind that are a good enough driver. But it is a fine line because, you know, we know lots of people that do it because, you know, they want to appear attractive for everybody else. And there's lots of people that go, you know what, I am what I am. And I'm going to go in and if they don't like me for what I am, then that's fine. And that's great. I absolutely appreciate that. But there's nothing more attractive than someone that puts an effort in. And that doesn't mean that they have to go to the gym for 42 hours a day. I know that's a physical impossibility. but if they put an effort in.
Good luck, buddy.
And if they try to make themselves more attractive or more appealing, that sells them, that they actually give a shit about themselves and they actually have a level of self-confidence. Even if that's not really the case, they're still trying. And to me, that trying is what I find attractive.
All right.
Anyone else want to chip in on this one?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. First and foremost, I think there's the element of guilt. Guilt on oneself, that if you do actually start to become... more cognizant of your general appearance or health, that, you know, your partner might assess that as you're doing it for other people. And I think that that exists in the lifestyle. Absolutely. You know, you've got couples that have maybe been together for 2 decades, 3 decades, and all of a sudden you've got somebody who has an interest in the gym and who is trying to better themselves. And there is an element of going, hold on a second, I've been with you for 20 years, 30 years. Why haven't you done that for me? And there is guilt that's associated with that. But on the flip side of that, I think there, you know, it being in the public eye a little bit more, you know, wanting to be desirable is not a dirty thing. And I think sometimes we need to take that stigma away from that. You know, we can do things for ourselves and it's not a bad thing. Now, the other flip side to that is, and the second part I want to go into, is the unhealthy association with body image and photos and everything else and compliments that come with the lifestyle. And this is something that we see, I'm probably going to say more in females than in males, which is that, you know, the constant need to post photos to a group setting or a bull or whatever and receive those compliments. And that's what feeds some of those confidence issues or even body dysmorphia, you know, in women, is that, you know, we feed off those compliments and that can be a really unhealthy situation that we crave. And if we don't get them, it can lead to some really horrible things. So I think that you definitely should be doing it for yourself. And I don't see that there should be guilt surrounding the fact that you're wanting to present yourself to other people either, that's outside of your partnership. Because, you know, even us moving from Sydney to Singapore, the general public here, they don't show a lot of skin. They don't show that sexiness side of themselves. And so we've even find ourselves putting on some kilos, you know, being less sexy on our attire when we're out, because not everybody else is doing that. People don't see that here. And so that's something that we've definitely noticed. And it's a problem, I think.
Do you know what? You've made such good points there. And before Miss Rach undoubtedly interjects, I just wanted to pick up on the point that you made around the photo thing. That's really interesting to me, because I am probably the first person to shy away from capturing my image in any way, digitally or otherwise, because I have such massive issues about how I think I look. Interesting. And we joke about this, but Mr. H probably takes about 20 selfies a day. Like, good for him. I think that's amazing that he has the confidence to do that. That's amazing. And it's so, so rare for me to put a picture of myself out there anywhere, whether it be in a chat or with people I trust or even like people I know really well, you know, let alone any kind of like social media platform. I shy away from it so intrinsically, because I genuinely don't like the way I look. If I take a picture of myself or Miss Rach takes a picture of me, I invariably look at it and go, I hate it. I literally hate the way I look. Interesting. He will probably take so many pictures and he'll like spam everyone with them. Brilliant. And I really envy the fact that he has the ability to do that so readily, and he's so confident that he will just chuck a picture of himself out there and people are like, oh hey, it's you, you look great. I'm like, oh man, I feel what really shit that
what
I
you're
can't
not
do
seeing
that.
Mrs. H, what you're not seeing some of the time though is that and I'm not specifically talking about Mr. H here, but say we're in a general group chat and you see some say there's a percentage of women out there who are posting photos of themselves you know, pretty consistently. That doesn't mean that they don't have things like body dysmorphic disorder. In fact, disorder. In fact, actually, about 3% of the population has that. But some people take that into a reclusive situation, which is like yourself, you know, I don't want to post photos. And some people put that out there for themselves to say, I need to post photos because I need to get those compliments. I've got to get them rolling in because that's how I find self-worth.
Yeah.
And I think both elements are very, very dangerous depending on, you know, how you take them. You know, Mr. H, very confident as well, but
he must be.
You know, I put you on the stand right now, and I say to you, you're putting all these photos out there. If nobody commented on those photos, not a single person, and say you posted a photo, and directly after Daryl posted a photo, and every single person complimented Daryl, how would you feel?
Well, this is the thing. I think for me, the reason I take those pictures, and I've talked about it a little bit before, is that I take those pictures because I didn't like having my picture taken. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was very much a case of let's take those pictures and build up a level of confidence with myself before I shared it with the world. And I'm lucky in that I have a bit of a background in photography, and I have a bit of background in this sort of media world. So I have a little bit of understanding about how it works. But for me, it was much more about, if I take enough pictures of me, then I actually begin to get used to my face and the way I look. And I begin to understand what works for me and what I like about my own body and my own face. Now, I have no... this is the fascinating dichotomy of us as a couple, in that we can go to a club and, you know, I will hide away in the background and I'll be quiet and I will be shy. This is true. This is how I feel. Whether you believe that's the image I put out, but how I feel internally is that I feel very quiet and I feel that I don't have much to add, just as a lot of people do. But actually, you see Mrs. H, who just disrobes and wanders around in a skimpy little outfit all the time. And, you know, it's not that it's a competition, but it's very hard to compete with that when you've got this fucking amazing, beautiful woman who may not see that herself. It's walking around and she's wearing practically next to nothing, and every head turns towards her. And for me, I'm just like a nice side dish that a partner may or may not enjoy.
Do you crave those compliments when you put a photo out there? So you're taking these selfies, you're putting them out there. Do you crave the compliments? And if you don't get them, does it make you feel a certain way?
I think more than anything, and this gets quite deep, I suppose, really, is that I'm surprised to get them. But when I do, I enjoy them. I don't expect them. I think the thing is that if I put a picture out there, I know that the reality is, if I put a picture of Mrs. H out there, it will get 1,000% more comment and enjoyment than a picture of me. So I have been trained through my experience to think that actually, if I put a picture out there, the chances are it's not going to get anywhere near the amount of engagement, if any, then it would do of a picture with her, because that's the way that the world works to a certain extent.
You mean people dislike pictures of women?
You know, I think there's a whole load of reasons behind it, and you know, I don't need to go down that road. But you know, I don't crave the comments, but I think they probably mean a lot more to me. I think that's the reality of it. And I think Daryl said it a number of times, actually, complimenting men when you see them is so important, and it makes such a difference to people. And you know, recognizing, if so, even if it's just down to fucking shoes that they've got on, going, you know what, dude, those are a nice pair of shoes, you've done well on that.
Can I actually interject with that? That's actually one of my favorite compliments to give a guy, because that's actually one of the first things I notice is their shoes. And I know that sounds really strange, but I will compliment a guy on some great shoes because I legitimately mean it. So, you know,
I think sadly you're both right, actually. I think the parallels that we can draw between the amount of clickbait and the amount of attention, unwarranted or otherwise, that women get is just unfathomable, really. Because you're right, you can put a picture of a pair of tits up and it will gain traction instantly of like 300-400 likes, because people just click on tits. And then
I've got an amazing set of like COVID tits right now. That I can get up there.
And then, you know, arguably really awesome. the dude can put a picture of himself up there, and you know, obviously there'll be a minority of people who will appreciate what's trying to happen there, and it's really good. But I agree that, you know, most people are just drawn intrinsically probably to even naked female form, and they will gravitate towards that.
I think so, but I do like the fact that there are a number of people out there that are trying to change that, you know, or at least recognize that men complimenting men is not a bad thing, and recognizing that a good picture is a good picture. And I think, you know, I've seen a lot of that, particularly over the last few months. Actually, I've seen a number of posts. I'm particularly focusing on Twitter, But I think what frustrates me is when you look at the lifestyle and you go to people's pages, 9 times out of 10, what you get is some a suite of artistic pictures of the women and then dick pics, you know, and it's a dick pic.
Or relatively little of a man.
Yeah, or nothing of the man, you know, and the most artistic that you might get of the man is a picture of his penis next to a can of Coke or a Sky remote. And for me, it's just
the dick next to a Jaeger.
Yeah. There's a better way to do it.
There really is.
I think, you know, as podcasters, a lot of us have talked about, you know, how can you get away from that? But the reality is that a lot of men sadly don't think about that stuff and don't live in that world in a way that.
So wait, am I to get this right that I shouldn't be sending dick pics?
Man, if you send me one more today.
I never get any. Just keep them coming.
I haven't reached my quota for today yet. I mean, I aim for 30 to 40 a day.
Data exceeded. At the
moment. So. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm really in awe sometimes of Mr. H and his confidence and the fact that he will just happily just like project images of himself out there with no issue. And I'm like, wow. But to be fair, he always looks good. You really do. You take a great picture. I for every picture you take of me, maybe, I don't know, like 1 in 30 I will like.
Hang on. But we have to say, right, so I've done wedding photography before.
And you're good at taking pictures.
Yeah, thank you. But I took like 600 pictures, of which like 80 were all right. So there is a batting average when you...
Yeah, that's just common sense. Because, you know, people...
That's why I send you 30 to 40 cock shots a day. One of them you're going to like.
Honestly, can I say though, like sometimes I'll put a photo up of myself that I'm not 100% happy with. And the reason that I do that is actually just to continue to challenge my own boundaries and my own thought process, because I think there is definitely an element of people being harder on themselves than other people are.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, the same thing Mr. H, you just said that Mrs. H goes around the club and is swanning around naked. And, you know, I think that... But in picture form, you know, we have a moment where we are quite hard and judgmental on ourselves. And sometimes I think it's quite healthy to put yourself out there and just accept the fact that it is not 100%. And maybe you really don't like that picture, the way that your body shapes and the way that there might be a little fat wobble there. But it is natural and it's beautiful and it's just you. And I think that there needs to be a little bit more of that, to be honest. And sometimes I do just put that out there just to... challenge myself to the fact that I'm not perfect and it's okay.
I think one of the things that there are a couple of things actually that struck me about this is, one, the first time we went to Desire and within, you know, 8 hours or whatever, we were naked in a pool. You know, it was a rip the band-aid off. But once you get to that point and everybody's naked, it's kind of like there is no viewfinder. There is no special moment.
It's a great equalizer, isn't it?
You're just living and you are who you are, but you're naked and you're exposed. And that's fine. The other thing, you know, and that goes also to the fact that we did, you know, a couple of months ago, we did this TV show and it's not out for a while yet, sadly. Been pushed back. But actually, what we had to realise is that we're on the show and... they're going to present what they're going to present. We can only be us. And if we're not us, then we're not being true to ourselves.
No, so, there's a lot about authenticity, I think. And
but, you know, you can't change the way you look.
You can't.
You are what you are. You can do what you can in prep for that. And, you know, okay, could we do some exercise before, or could we do our hair or put our makeup on or whatever it might be. But actually, up until the point at which we step in front of a camera, then what you see is what you get. And that's life.
It's interesting, you know, because a lot of the photos that you might see and you know, arguably sometimes I might look at photos and think, oh, you know, you could do some touching up of that and you could make something look a little bit nicer. What's the point? Actually, in reality is when people meet you, like, it's not going to do you any favours, because it's not really authentic, is it? And you might as well just be...
Well, photoshopping a penis into your forehead was probably the wrong move, in which case.
But you might as well be just realistic about, you know,
I'm a unicorn.
And the only thing that can really make it any different, I suppose, is your own input into what you choose to do to modify the way you look.
But I will say the whole understanding of, or the whole catch cry of, like, just be confident is total and utter bullshit.
Difficult.
Let's just be honest. I mean, we all sit there and we're like, just be confident and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I know.
It's I mean, come on. Who is able to just flick the switch. I mean, Daryl and I go to so many events and, you know, the half an hour beforehand.
Humble
brag. Well, not lately.
Total fucking lie.
The half an hour beforehand, I'm there and I'm a hot mess, you know, because I'm like, well, what if there is somebody more attractive, and what if there is somebody younger than me, or what if there is somebody more intelligent
than
me?
Here's a tip for everyone out there: in every room you walk into, there will be people that are more attractive and all these other things that you've got a problem with than you are. And that's purely because your issue is not theirs.
But nobody can be more you than you.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Exactly. I agree. Exactly. So embrace your individuality and deal with the fact that, you know, you may not be the most beautiful person in your eyes, but in other people's eyes, you may very well be exactly that.
Okay. So we've talked a bit about confidence. And I think one of the things that I really want to talk about is actually what you find attractive. So in my mind, I've got this thing.
Burritos.
Thank you, dear.
Same.
It's almost like personality versus body versus age to a certain extent. I know we've talked about age a little bit.
Well, like a trifecta of perfection.
And I think one of the things that I heard about when I listened to lots of shows about the lifestyle and we were coming into this was that, yeah, everyone's fine, but anybody is accepted. And I agree, it is. Anybody can come along. But actually, do you find everyone attractive? And I think that's not true.
No, we don't, and there's no shame in that. It's kind of leading on to what I was talking about before. You're not going to find everybody attractive, and I don't see why.
Half the time I don't find myself attractive, so why would I find everybody else attractive?
If I'm walking into a club and I'm like, oh man, I'm not attractive, why should I be finding everybody else attractive? It is such a bullshit cliche, you know. Yes, everybody is welcome. Yes, everybody will absolutely 100% find their tribe, but do I need to think everybody's attractive? No. Do I? No. And it's great to say personalities shine through, and they do 100%. But let's be fair, you're in a club environment, you're in a resort environment, you're in a one-on-one dating environment, whatever it is, there is absolutely 100% that initial physical attraction that makes you want to learn more about that individual. That's just the reality. So you're going to find something about that person, maybe their shoes, whatever, interesting, and you're going to want to go and talk to that person to find out more about their personality. And I don't see the shame in that. And yes, we do find some people attractive, and absolutely 100%, I don't find some people attractive as well. You know, and I'm not interested in talking to them any further. That's just how it goes.
You're allowed to do that though, right? But as you say, there's no shame in having your own personal preferences, and you know, why would you lower your standards, I guess, your own standards, because you think it conforms to something?
Well, I think, you know, this is the thing that a lot of people for a long time, I think, said that, you know, everyone's welcome and every body shape, size, height, penis length, boob size, whatever. Everyone is welcome. And that's absolutely true. But the important thing to remember is that what you find attractive is what you find attractive. And you can't help that. That's something that's intrinsically built into you.
I agree.
And I think personality absolutely does go a long way, because, you know, we've met people 100%. That are incredibly attractive and they're just cunts. I'm sorry. There's no way around it. They're just a bunch of dicks. And there's no fucking way on earth that I want to sleep with someone that is a cunt. It's just, it's not going to happen.
Because, you're just hardwired that way, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I like good people, and good people through my eyes, not any particular definition. And if that doesn't fit my level of where I'm at, my RoboCop scale, as I often call it, you know, it's almost like, you know, this weird combination of personality plus, you know, attractiveness to me plus body type or age or whatever it is, this holy...
It's an amazing trifecta. Algebraic formula.
Yeah.
It would make maths way more interesting.
And sometimes you meet someone that might, you know, on paper, fulfill all of those criteria, but you know what? You just don't fucking feel it. And if that's the case, you're under no obligation. You know, and it's been really fascinating actually going on this journey with, particularly with Mrs. H, that, you know, we've gone into a room and I've kind of gone, okay, who's she going to like? And sometimes I don't have a clue. Whilst you can guess at what, you know, the sort of body type might be or the personality or whatever, understanding how all those things meet with all the experiences that she's got on her head, it's really hard to make a 100% kind of guess as to whether someone's going to be right for
you. I agree.
Or even for me.
You can't pigeonhole people that way. And you don't necessarily understand and you can't necessarily call the shots on how you think someone's going to be attracted to something. Because it's sometimes it's just a chemistry thing, or you're just intrinsically drawn to something you see across a room.
Sometimes they've just got to like me.
It's so true.
But it is, you know, and it goes a long way through personality, through interest in you, and all of these things fire up various chemicals in your brain. You go, ah, this person is without a doubt the right one for us to fall around with. But you know, it is getting moons to align sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need that. Sometimes you just rock up and you go, oh, that person's hot and they seem like a good person and those initial sparks are great and you go with it. But like we've said before, the more you delve into them as a person, the more you might actually find out that, they're not quite for us.
And interestingly, I think more often than not, we don't make the connections.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. You know, people have this misconception that just because you do enjoy swinging, that every time you go and meet people, that you just have sex with them.
Well, some and people it's not
the
case.
The amount of times we've not engaged with people because it's not the right thing to do for us, like for both of us, that's fine. We just have a good time, but we walk away. We don't have to be physical.
That's very true. So. Anyway. The one final bit I've got here, unless anyone's got anything else to add, is around actually the sort of TV or the perception versus reality, I think. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, at the start of our journey, we listened to this podcast called Swinging Down Under.
And, we know, did. We,
absolute and utter shit. Yes, carry on.
This is actually true. But anyway, the other reality that brought us into this was around the Playboy swing stuff, around various other TV programs, and led us to kind of, I guess the difference is with audio, you kind of perceive what you want to perceive. But in our heads... Yep. Not that this wasn't the reality, but that everyone that went into that lifestyle was incredibly attractive.
I did have that blinkered view. I really did.
The other thing was is that a lot of the content that was produced wasn't from the UK, which felt exotic in a way. And, you know, I dread to think that America being exotic is a thing, necessarily. Sorry, Americans.
It feels unattainable, maybe.
Yeah. And
something that, you know, like, oh my God. These are standards I'll never manage to aspire to because it's so far removed from my normality, maybe.
And looking through, you know, things like swing, there were these, you know, the endless amounts of six packs or boob jobs and or whatever it might have been, enhancements, all this kind of stuff. And we felt very nervous about jumping into the lifestyle because actually that stuff felt so beyond where we were in this, you know, little semi-detached house in the south of England. You know, it felt a million miles away from where we were. So have you guys, you know, did you find the similar sort of thing, or have you discovered alternatives along the way?
Well, I mean, I can talk about our event, you know, and in particular, and what we see on event posters, because I think that's the biggest trigger for me is more the marketing collateral that's out there, which I mentioned earlier in the podcast, because it is very much a very specific body shape, a very specific age is on the posters. And I think that can definitely lead to some misunderstandings of what the lifestyle is about. Now, trying to include everybody in those posters, it's a very difficult argument, and it's a tough argument because marketing is marketing. You know, if you take Coca-Cola or take any big brands, Nike or wherever, they are marketing their product, trying to put its best foot forward and trying to make sure that people want to purchase the product. And I think the same can be said about lifestyle events. But is it inclusive, and are they actually producing a reality of what the lifestyle looks like? I mean, that is a whole nother difficult debate, to be honest, because you have one hand where they want to sell tickets and they want to get the marketing collateral out there, and the other hand where, you know, couples like yourselves or ourselves are going, hold on a second, I'm not, you know, that six-pack situation and therefore am I unwelcome. And it is tough. It really is tough. And I would like to see more lifestyle events taking a more diverse look at at their collateral and maybe even stepping away from using human beings or models as their marketing collateral and moving away to different avenues, you know, rather than those bikini-clad kind of models. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to see more diversity out there in some of the posters. And I think that would definitely help us all to realise that it's not just that individual that's going to those events or locations or resorts or whatever and, you know, hopefully one day.
It really is tricky because, you know, having gone back to watch Playboy Swing quite recently, we kind of stopped by and checked back into that and had a bit of a reflection. We were like, my God, I don't think we've ever been to a party where so many attractive people rocked up. And, yeah, okay, there's the episodes where they send out the B squad and the C squad or whatever, depending on who's coming in, and I get that. But actually, we kind of both sat down and felt, fuck us. You know, we've been to parties and there's been a whole range of human life for that, just like anything else. You know, you go to the supermarket and there's going to be a whole suite of people there. And the lifestyle parties are exactly the same. You roll the dice and...
See what's that?
Yeah.
It's funny that you bring up about Swing in particular as well and thinking that everybody was really attractive, because I can honestly say 6 years ago at the beginning of our journey, I thought everybody on that show was very attractive. And if I go back now, I'm not so sure they are, you know, and I think that definitely comes from an understanding of, like, it's that taboo, it's that excitement, it's that hold on, this is so naughty, and so everybody in there is really attractive because they're all engaging in this really naughty thing, versus now I kind of step back and I'm like, hold on a second, what do they look like? What is their personality? How are they interacting with each other as a couple? How are they interacting with the other people in the house? You know, I think it broadens the elements of what becomes attractive to you versus 6 years ago where I was like, wow, this is so interesting and so exciting and so taboo. Like, everybody on there is so amazing. Yeah, you know, now I'm like, hold on a second, maybe half the people would be amazing to me. And it's interesting. So I don't know, Daryl, did you feel the same way?
I think in some cases, yes. I mean, I don't want to dwell on Playboy Swing, because I think it's a moment trapped in time as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who are on there, the fashion it was filmed in, all that sort of thing play a part in that as well. But certainly from the beginning till now, there's been some stark changes in terms of how we view people, and you know, we've gained some friends along the way, and we've lost some as well. People that we may have originally been very interested in, who, after getting to know a little better, we perhaps aren't. You know, that's just a part of life, I suppose, and as part of friendship as well. That's how friendship works in general. Is that you don't keep all your friends forever. That's not how life works. So, and I don't believe it's any different in the context of swinging as well. It's just that it's a little bit more, you're a little bit more engaged with swinging than you are with...
Or cognizant about it, really, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I think with anything, you kind of grow as you start. You know, you kind of jump in and you learn and you kind of figure out what works for you, and what was right at the beginning may not be right in the middle and at the end. And, you know, you kind of develop as a person. But also you kind of figure out what works for you.
Yeah, it's so funny. Listen to Kate then just talking. I could really resonate with some of that, because very, very, very new to the lifestyle. You almost put people on a pedestal, in a sense, because it's like a status that you haven't attained yet, and you kind of think, oh my God, these people are doing this stuff, and it's just so out there, and it's so kinky, and it's like what we're currently trying to kind of get involved in, and we haven't done it before. And you almost, as I said, you put them on a pedestal of, oh my God, you guys, you're so, yeah, look at you. So looking at Playboy Swing, it was quite interesting looking back, because yes, at the time I think we probably watched it with that view very much in mind of, wow, we could never be like that.
And now it'd be interesting to see what they did if they were going to do a remake in, you know, 2020, 2021, you know, whether that would include more of that, you know, socio-swinger kind of element to it. That would be interesting to see how they would adapt, because along with, you know, to Daryl's point, the show was relevant back then, and things change and things adapt, absolutely. And people change.
Yeah.
You know, and people's understanding of how they want to approach sexuality changes as well. So would we see a little bit more diversity even in the sexuality of the people in there. You know, that would be really interesting to see how that would kind of pan out if it was actually in today's society.
So I think we've kind of covered a good broad stroke of stuff, but as you guys said, you've got an episode coming out soon that will be worth checking out. In fact, all of their episodes are worth checking out, but I think you had a particularly pertinent one coming up. Kate, what episode is that? What number is it? What star date?
No number yet, just yet, because we have about 5 or 6 in the hopper.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
Stardate 2.5.
Possibly going to be 367, we're not sure yet. But yes, that is age gaps in the lifestyle, because we do want to discuss the different approaches that perhaps couples have when they're in the lifestyle.
Nice. Looking forward to it. And where can people find you guys?
Mostly in Singapore. That's a country in Asia. But other than that, you can find us on swingingdownunder.com, and that has all of our other links there for our social media and our podcast and our blog and YouTube, because that's new.
So you're taking over the world, basically.
Cool. One very, very small step at a time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Mrs. H, do your thing.
Well, thank you for hopping into our bed. Well, thank you so much to Kate and Daryl from Swinging Down Under, our special guest today in our Fuck Off series about age and body image.
I'm glad you remembered that, because to the people that are listening, it's like, you know, this is still, you know, they're still recording. This is still going on. It's,
Shush, I'm just getting on a bit, you know.
Really? You're just repeating stuff now.
I know, it's embarrassing.
Well, thank you for sticking all the way through to the end of that one. We know it was a bit longer than normal, so for that, we apologise.
How do you know they did? They might have just fast-forwarded.
That's true. We're just going to get to the weird end bit where they ramble on a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly that. So we hope everyone is staying safe out there. We know that in the UK we're going to be wearing masks pretty much moving forward, so look out on Twitter for that.
Yeah.
Just pictures of us wearing masks. It's fun times. Yeah. We also said that we might chuck some pictures of us where we got married, so I may have to drag.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. So that's somewhere in there.
Where were these promises coming from?
I don't know. They were in there somewhere. Okay. Maybe I edited that bit out and I'm just like chucking an extra promise in. So maybe
you are.
Yeah, maybe later on in the week we'll chuck some of that stuff on. So look out for pictures of us and whatnot.
I hope you've got some Photoshop ready to slim me down.
Well, no, because these are old pictures of us. So it doesn't, you know, that would be the whole body confidence thing that we talked about.
No, I guess
remember
so.
That thing that we, that we did when we did that talk with Kate and Daryl just 3 seconds ago or something?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, take care, guys.